Okay, greetings. I hope everyone is well. Today is Thursday, January 28th. Wow, time flies when you're stuck inside. And we are here for our new class on the Ramban on the Torah. And this week is Parshat Bishalach. And it's a great Parsha. We're going to cross the sea in this week's Parsha, and we have Uz Yashir. But that's not what we are going to focus on. We are going to focus on what I said in the WhatsApp group. I think what is one of the most consequential ideas in all of the Torah. So let me begin by sharing my screen, and then we'll jump right in. Okay, so here we go. The Ramban is focused on a specific pasuk here, and it is chapter 15, verse 25. Okay, the Ramban says as follows. The Torah says as follows. This is when they're heading out, and they're already actually out, and they don't have any water, and so God brings them to a place where there's only bitter water, and then the water is sweetened. But that's not what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on the end of the pasuk. So let's just read the whole pasuk. Vayitzak el Hashem, vayorehu Hashem eitz. And then he cried out to Hashem. Hashem showed him a tree. Vayashlech el hamayim. And he threw it into the waters. Vayim tiku hamayim. And the waters remained sweet. Sham sam lo choku mishpat. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. Visham nisau. And there he tested them. That's the pasuk. And that's the highlighted half of the pasuk is the part we are going to focus on. So the Ramban has a few questions he's dealing with when he gets to this question, when he gets to this pasuk. First of all, why are laws being given before Sinai? Right? The Torah is going to be given in a little while at Har Sinai. Why did laws need to be given at this point? That's the first question the Ramban is going to try to answer. The second question he's going to answer is, what does this mean? Visham nisau, that God tested them there. Right? What's the nature of this test? And why was it necessary? Okay, so those are the two questions the Ramban is going to deal with in his commentary on Pasuk Chafhei in Perek Tetvav, chapter 15, verse 25. Okay, so it's not we only have one Ramban to do today. So it seems a little long, but it's only one. And I think it's worthwhile for us to work through it slowly. So first he does what he often does. He quotes Rashi. Sham, sam lo choku mishpat v'sham nisau. There, God gave them, as we saw, a statute and ordinance, and there he tested them. So says the Ramban, b'mara natan lahem miktzat parshiot shel Torah. In Mara, which is the name of the place where they are, God gave them some sections of the Torah. Okay, so like a sneak preview, sneak peek of the Torah. Shitasku bahem, so that they might engage in them. Shabbat, Parah Aduma, V'dinim. And he gave them, according to the tradition, he gave them the rules of Shabbat and the rules of the red heifer and laws of justice. So that's, I think, and that, by the way, that's Rashi. V'sham nisahu la'am, and there he tried them. That is the people. Meaning the test was whether or not they were going to be able to keep these laws. And this is based on the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, as you see. And he says, Lashon Rashi. This is Rashi's opinion. Okay. So, it's interesting, just in and of itself that God gave them that God gave them these rules there, and God gave them these rules as a way of giving them a chance to perhaps get used to what it feels like to have rules, because soon enough they're going to have a lot of rules. These are the subjects that were chosen: Shabbat, the Parah Adumah, and the laws of justice. Shabbat is referred to in the section of the Mun, which is going to come up later in the Parsha. And Parah Adumah is a very good example of a chok, of a rule that it's very hard for us to understand, or maybe impossible for understand the reason for the commandment. And the laws of justice are typical examples of rules which we could have figured out on our own, governed by reason. So there are three different types of rules. One that's going to come up very soon. One rule related to a chok, which is a type of rules which you don't understand the reason for the commandment. And mishpat, rules which we do understand. And so that's what happens here. And that's Rashi. And I think that's a nice answer. It's just interesting, I would say, that God wants to give the Jewish people a chance to dip their toes in the water before he goes whole hog. Although I guess I shouldn't use the word hog in the context of the Torah. Okay, so that's Rashi. And then the Ramban says, wait a second, I'll bring you to the English. I'll get the Hebrew, and I'll just keep the English on the screen. So then comes along the Ramban. He doesn't love that. He doesn't love this answer at all. And he comes up with a different approach, and he's going to tell us why he does not like the approach of Rashi. And he says as follows. He says, Ve'ani tama, I wonder, I don't get it. Lama lo piresh kana chukim ha'elev ha'mishpatim? If this was the purpose, that God was giving them these rules, why did it say explicitly what they were? Why does Scripture not explain these statutes and ordinances? And say specifically, Vayomer, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe, Tzavet b'nei Yisrael, Kasher amar b'parshiyot ha'nizkarot l'mala, Dabru el kol adat b'nei Yisrael. Right, when God is giving rules, he says to Moshe, I'm giving rules. Right, and the Eternal spoke to Moses, command the children of Israel, and it says in the chapters mentioned above, speak unto the children, unto the congregation of Israel. V'chein yaseh v'chol ha-mitzvot be'ohel moeh be'arvot moav u'v'pesach midbar. And this is what he did with all the commandments given in the ohel moeh, in the tent of meeting, and in the arvot moav, which is that'll come up in Bamidbar, and as well the Pesach Mitzrayim. So why not, if these are really rules that he's giving them, which are part of the Torah, right? That's what the Ramban is wondering. If these are rules that are part of the Torah, but he's giving them early, then he should introduce them with the language that God normally uses when he gives Torah rules. Okay, and he goes on to say, V'lashon Rashi she'amar, now Rashi's expression he gave them, parshiot she'itaskubahem, parts of the Torah so that may engage in the study of them. Mashma shehodiam hachukim hahem v'limedotam atid hakadosh baruch hu letzavot etchem bekach. It sounds like what Rashi is saying, that Moshe did inform them of these statutes, that he taught these statutes to them, saying, in the future, God is going to command you. Al haderech shelaman Avraham avinu et haTorah v'hayazelaha Raglayim, Allah regalim, the mitzvot v'ladat imi kablu otam b'simcha u'v'tov lev. Just like he gave them to Abraham, the purpose is to make them familiar with them, lahar gilam, to make them familiar with the commandments and to know if they would accept them with joyful and with gladness of heart. So the Ramban says it would have been a good idea for God to do this, but it doesn't sound like this is what he's doing, because he doesn't use that language. V'hu ha-nisayon she'amar v'sham nisau, and that would have been the test, that he tested them. V'hodiyam she'od yitzuvam b'mitzvot. And he, Moshe, informed them that God would further command them the precepts of the Torah. V'zeh, zehu she'amar im shamoa tishma l'kol Hashem elokecha v'yazata l'mitzvotav asher yitzaveh utcha bahem. if you diligently hearken to the voice of the Eternal, like thy God, and will give ear to his commandments, which he will command you in the future. So there is this notion of giving commandments in the future, but again, the Ramban takes issue that it doesn't seem to fit the normal usage in terms of language choice of mitzvot, of when God gives mitzvot. Now, notwithstanding the Ramban's objection, I think it's a very cool suggestion, right? That God gave the Jewish people some mitzvot as a taste, as a foreshpice, to make sure that they're going to really do it, and that they'll be able to do it, and they'll know what it means, and they'll study it, and that's the test. So Rashi's point actually works out well. It fits nicely into the verses. He gave them rules, and he tested them to see if they are going to keep the rules, because there are a lot of rules coming later. Again, the Ramban's objection is a technical one. And then he offers his own suggestion. Okay? And he says as follows. In line with the plain meaning. Now he's going to give what he thinks is the plain meaning. He says as follows. V'alderech ha'pshat, the plain meaning. Kasher hecholu lavo b'midbar ha'gadol v'hanorah v'tzimaon asher ein mayim. When they came into this dreadful wilderness, thirsty, where there's no water, and that's he's quoting Pesukim there. There he's quoting Pesukim from Devarim. Sam lahem b'michiatam v'tzarcheihem manhigam asher yinhagu bahem ad bo amal eretz Moshavet. Moshe established customs for them concerning how to regulate their lives and affairs until they come to a land that's inhabited. Meaning, these were not Torah rules. These were just the rules of the camp. Everyone, you know, knock on the tent before you go in. You know, make sure you use the bathroom outside of the camp. Don't play your music too loud at night, right? These were just not Torah rules, as Rashi suggested, but just rules, because they're going to be in this desert. At this point, they didn't know for 40 years, but they're going to be walking around, pitching their tents, unpitching their tents, making camp, breaking camp, living together. And Moshe wanted them to have just some sort of basic rules until they got to civilization, where they would then establish with the Torah the full gamut of civilization. And so the Ramban says, ki haminhagi krechok. Chok here doesn't mean like Rashi thinks, what we normally think a chok means, a rule whose reason we don't understand. Chok simply means a custom, a way, like a rule. And in fact, I think that's one of the words used in Israel for laws, a chok. It's a chok. It's a law. There's a speed limit. Got to stop at a red light. Got to stop at a stop sign. That's a chok. Kinyan hatri feni lahem chukai. Quote some psukim to show that the word chok is used this way. And then he moves on, says, v'yikre mishpat, and the things which are called mishpat, b'yoto mishu'ar kohogen. It's a custom, right? It's something measured out accurately. It's a mishpat. It's well thought out. V'chein ko asa David, v'cho mishpato kol hayamin. And he quotes a pasuk, and so has been David's mishpat, mishpato all the while. And so the Ramban's first point is, no, they did not give laws of the Torah in advance. These were, I guess, what we call laws of civilization. That's what was given in advance. Okay? So that is the point one of the Ramban. So let's just review. He quotes the Ramban, who gives what I think is a lovely interpretation, but the Ramban has a technical problem with it because it doesn't use the right language, which is God gave them some rules from the Torah in advance to see how they would react. The Ramban says, no, I don't like that answer. It doesn't make sense to me. What I think is going on here is God just gave them some other rules just so they'd be able to live in a civilized way without killing each other. Okay? And then the Ramban comes up with another answer, which is what I was referring to when I said that it is, I think, one of the most consequential ideas in all of Judaism. So what does the Ramban say here? He gives another suggestion. And it is as follows. I just want to make sure I have the right spot in the Hebrew. oh, he says, or, right, it may mean, she is sarem b'chukei hamidbar l'svol hara'ah v'hatzama. It could be that Moses instructed them in the ways of the wilderness, namely to be ready to suffer hunger and thirst and to pray to God. L'krobahem el Hashem, lo derech tuluna mishpatim, lo derech tuluna, not as a murmur, just to ask, to get in the, this is why he brought them into the desert, to get them used to asking God. And then the Ramban says, Oshi is sarem, I'm sorry, as well as amat lekro bahem el Hashem lo derech tuluna umishpatim sheyichyu bahem lehov ish et reyehu. He taught them ordinances whereby they should live to love one another, and to follow the counsel of the elders. I lost my place. Sorry about that. And to live discreetly in their tents. When it comes to the women and the children, and to treat with peace the people who would come into their camp to sell things, other, you know, traveling tribes or groups who would come into camp to do business with them, and other types of moral instruction that they should not become like bands of marauders. Asher ya'asu kol toeva, who do all sorts of terrible things, v'lo yitboshashu, and do not have any shame. U'ki'inyan shetziva b'torah ki teitzei machane oivecha v'nishmarta mikol, just like God said, when you go forth into a camp against your enemy, then you shall keep from every evil thing. Mikol davar v'chin Yoshua ne'mar v'yichrot Yoshua brit la'am b'yom ahu. Similar thing about Yoshua. Yoshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and ordinance in Shechem. Here too, the expression, a statute and ordinance, does not refer to the statutes and ordinances of the Torah, but rather to the customs and ways of civilized society, such as the conditions which Rabbi Yoshua made upon entering the land, which the rabbis have mentioned, and other such similar regulations. There it's talking about Gemara in Bava Kama that says 10 conditions did Yoshua stipulate when Bnei Israel entered the land, that all the people have a right to pasture their cattle in the forest without interference from others. And the customs established by Yoshua were norms of a functioning society. So it goes back to this idea that what was given there were norms of a functioning society, which the rabbis have mentioned and others have some revelations that scripture says. And there he tried them in order to inform them that he, Moses, led them by such a road on which there was no water, and he brought them to a place where the water were bitter in order to test them. So the testing for the Ramban has nothing to do with the laws, right? The testing for the Ramban has to do with the fact that there was no water. So we have to split the pasuk in half. But that's not my focus. My focus is this other idea that what God, or what Moshe was introducing to Bnei Israel here were not Torah laws, but other rules that are necessary for the peaceful establishment or the peaceful running of a society. And what I think the Ramban is saying here, is that there are two sources of things that a Jew is supposed to do. One source is the Torah, the explicit Torah, the halacha, the way we understand the development of the Torah. That is the main and always important, never changing source of the obligations of a Jew. But the Ramban, according to some, is also introducing another idea, right? Simply acting properly towards each other, living in a civilized way towards each other, which doesn't necessarily need the Torah, which is exactly what the Ramban is saying. These rules, unlike Rashi, these rules that Moshe gave were not from the Torah. They were rules that Moshe came up on his own in terms of what is needed to run a civilized society. Now, one could suggest that that's good, but once the Torah was given, maybe that using our reason is no longer acceptable. I think the evidence of Jewish sources is against that. And that the evidence of Jewish sources is that, yes, the Torah is our main source and stable source of Jewish law. Yet, there are things that we could think of on our own which are necessary to run a Jewish society, which are not explicit in the Torah, but are nonetheless important. And the reason why I was thinking about this recently is because I'm rereading a book from one of my teachers at Yeshiva University, Rabbi Walter Wurzberger. The book is called The Ethics of Responsibility, which is a really important book. And in the first chapter, he quotes this Ramban to prove his point. And I'll just read you a couple of paragraphs. He says as follows: the Jewish conception of piety places special emphasis upon ethical conduct, right? Ethical conduct. Again, not conduct which is explicitly stated in the Torah, but ethical conduct. And he says this, he continues: the Torah defines the ways of God as the doing of righteousness and justice. This is in Bereshit. One is made acutely aware of the primacy of the ethical dimension in the Torah's account of the legislation promulgated at Marah. Those are the psukim that we just read. Even before Israel entered into the Sinaitic covenant, which is a fancy way of saying before we got the Torah, there was need for laws governing interpersonal relationships. So you see, the Ramban Rabbi Wurzberger is saying exactly what the Ramban said. In fact, he footnotes and he says, you should see this Ramban on Shemot, Perek Tetvav Pasuk Chafei. So pronounced is the emphasis upon the ethical dimension in the writing of the latter prophets that the term prophetic Judaism was coined to describe the kind of Judaism that revolved around universal moral norms. Although the prophets were also vitally concerned with the observance of rituals, they found it necessary to focus on the ethical dimension of religious piety because it was so frequently disregarded by their contemporaries. In the post-biblical era, classical exponents of rabbinic Judaism, such as Hillel and Rabbi Akiva, viewed the moral imperatives as the very essence of the Torah. Right, Mada alach sane, what you don't like done, lo tavid lechavre, don't do to your friend. That's not in the Torah, but that's what was told to the convert who wanted to get the Torah in abridged form. It is therefore not surprising that many Jewish thinkers, such as Shmuel David Lutzato and others, singled out the ethical dimension as the very hallmark of the Jewish spirit. A number of halakhic provisions attest to the primacy of ethical and normative Judaism. And so what's interesting here, I think, in the Ramban, is that the Torah is telling us that before the Torah was given, another source of law was revealed. And that is our ethical intuition, our reason, rules that we need to put in place. You know, how do I know that I'm not supposed to just, I don't know, push someone out of line at Starbucks? But just because it's just not nice. I don't need a pasuk in the Torah to tell me that. That's just a normal way that a society has to function. And that's what we're getting here. So this Ramban is really, from Rabbi Wurzberger's perspective, and I think it's wonderful, fundamental in recognizing that Judaism accepts the notion of reason as law. Again, doesn't supplant the Torah. And the Torah, of course, is, in Rabbi Wurzberger's language, he used very strong language here. It says, his language is, let me just read it one more time, that where does it say? Well, he says, I'm sorry. I thought I had it. Oh, he says the prophets are vitally concerned with the observance of rituals, right? Where are other, where the mitzvot come from the Torah? That's a vital issue for us. But we have this other source of law, which is important and holds its own, you know, level of holiness. And that's the Ramban I wanted to share with you today. Again, beautiful in that before the Torah was given, this other source of law was revealed to the Jewish people. Okay, so if anyone wants to unmute themselves and ask a question or make a comment, now's your time. If you want to put something in the chat, now is your time as well. Any comments? Anyone want to ask a question? If not, Andrea.
I just want to say it was really quite beautiful. I thought I liked that.
Yeah, I think it's really beautiful and really important, because sometimes Rabbi Soloveitchik said that the Torah is the floor, not the ceiling. Mm-hmm. Right, the Torah are our minimal requirements. Right, but when it comes to ethics and morals, and even in ritual life, we could go higher and higher.
Yeah, I just think that was so beautiful. I really like that.
Great. I'm so glad. I'm glad I chose that one. I was drawn to it immediately. Okay, great. Well, thank you for joining. I hope everyone has a wonderful evening and a Shabbat Shalom. And
Shabbat Shalom,
Rabbi. See you all soon.
Shabbat okay. Shalom.
Let me ask a question while I have you here. I know my parents are good. Andrea, you're getting your first vaccination next week?
Second,
great. Sheila and Lou, how about you guys? Are you guys all, you guys shot up? Yes.
Okay. They got both.
I hope you shot up with the vaccine.
That's not very, what's the word I'm Give looking for?
Yes. Colin and Linda, how about you guys?
Yeah, we're getting our second shot next week.
Excellent. Okay. Shelby?
I'm
you have to unmute. You have to unmute, Shelby.
Okay. When you sent out that thing about at the stadium, NRG Stadium, I signed up right away and got shot a week ago Sunday, and the second one's going to be on the 14th of February.
Fantastic.
So,
okay.
So thank you very much.
Good. Because we have a group of people calling anyone who's of age in the shul, but you guys may have not been called because people know that you already got your shots, but we're trying to make sure everyone's connected. Got it. Marilyn and Ron, how about you guys?
We're getting our second shots next week.
Okay. Let's see. Emily, you're too young.
Too young.
Danielle, did you get yours as a doctor already?
Yeah, I got both of them.
Okay, great. Elena?
Yeah, I don't qualify, but thank you for asking. I'm one of the volunteers who's calling people, but I finished
wonderful.
My list.
What about your mother, Elena?
She got her first one.
Okay, good.
Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, listen, if anyone needs, I have some in my backyard.
Hey, wait a minute. Quick story. I was listening to the news today, and there was a big snowstorm, and there were some nurses stuck in the storm with vials of the vaccine that was going to go bad. So they went from car to car in this pileup and vaccine people in the snow on the highway. So
wow.
They shouldn't waste the vaccines.
Wow.
Beautiful.
I just saw it on the news this evening.
That's great. All right. Well, I'm very happy that everyone here on this call who qualifies has got the vaccine. That's great. And, thank you, Elena, for making phone calls to people. And that's also been helpful.
And you don't need to thank me, but everybody is an effort of everybody.
Well, I'm thanking you for your part in the effort.
Thank you. I was actually finished with my list, but I actually helped some other people, got inventive. And I'm glad that most everybody has gotten the vaccine. And there is the couple of people who are going to get assistance from UOS and Ruthie's working diligently on it. So
yeah, we have Jenny's in the kitchen making some vaccinations.
Well, at least it's not the Russian concussion.
No, chicken soup. All right, everyone, have a great evening and a Shabbat Shalom.
Jewish penicillin, you know, Jewish penicillin.
Yep.
Penicillin doesn't work on this.
Thank you.
If anyone, wants if anyone wants the text of the Rambam that we studied, let me know. I'm happy to share it with you if you want to share it with your family over Shabbat or before Shabbat. All right, take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Shabbat. Bye. Shabbat.